So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter number 4, entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya, Text number 19. Vidya Vedita Hardaya Mayam Sa Bhagavan Parah Adi Desharavindaksha Atmanah Paramam Stitim. Word for word meanings. Iti Avedita.
Iti Avedita.
Thus being prayed to by me. Hardaya.
Hardaya.
From the core of my heart.
Mahiyam.
Unto me.
Saha.
He. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Paraha, supreme. Adidesha, instructed. Arvinda Akshaha, the lotus eyed. Atmanaha, of himself. Paramam, transcendental. Stitim, situation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. When I thus express my heartfelt desires unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about His transcendental situation. Translation, please repeat. When I thus express my heartfelt desires unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about His transcendental situation. Purport. The words Paramam Stitim are significant in this verse. The Lord's transcendental situation was not even spoken of to Brahma when the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33-36 were explained. This transcendental situation comprises His dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited at Dwarka and Vrindavan. When the Lord explained His specific transcendental situation, it was meant for Uddhava only. And therefore, Uddhava particularly said, Mahiyam, unto me. Although the great sage Maitreya was also sitting there. Such a transcendental situation is hardly understood by those whose devotion is mixed with speculative knowledge or fruitive activities. The Lord's activities in confidential love are very rarely disclosed to the general devotees, who are attracted by devotion mixed with knowledge and mysticism. Such activities are the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord.
Om Agyan Thimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakalam Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we see that Uddhava is describing glories of Lord in these few verses. So this is the part of Leela of Lord when he disappears from this world. Actually, Lord can never disappear from this world or spiritual world, because everything that's present in material or spiritual world is Krishna. Krishna says, all material and spiritual worlds come from me. So Krishna can never disappear in one sense. But in other sense, he is disappearing also. So that's the inconceivable nature of Krishna, that the opposites can be true in his pastimes. He's not disappearing, but still he's disappearing. He's present and not present. He's here and he's there. So these all opposites can be present. In material world, the duality is in such a way that only one aspect can be present. If it's hot, it's hot. it's not cold simultaneously. It's either hot or cold. But for Lord, everything is possible. So that's his transcendental position. And here Prabhupada writes that the words paramam sthitim, or the transcendental situation, these words are very significant in this verse. So what is the transcendental situation of Krishna? Actually, it's very hard to understand by anyone. And especially by practicing devotees, it's very hard to understand that what is the actual real transcendental situation of Krishna. So because it's hard to understand, that's why we get demotivated after some time of practice of sadhana bhakti. We may think, does the process work? I'm chanting from so many years. What's happening? Nothing is happening. Actually, many things are happening we may not be able to see. Just like the parents, when they have a child and he's growing every day, especially till someone reaches 15 or 16, the growth is considerable. And other relatives and friends, when they see the child after many days or months or years, they see a considerable change. Oh, the child has grown up so much. He's so tall. But parents, they know it, but they cannot fully appreciate the growth, because the child is with them every day. So same way, when we chant Hare Krishna, our bhakti creeper is growing every day, if we are sincere, if we are not committing offenses against holy name. Then our bhakti creeper is growing. But it's not very easy to see that, because we are neophytes. Of course, some are advanced devotees as well in today's assembly. But as a general statement, this is very hard to understand for a neophyte devotee, that how am I advancing? So that's why we get demotivated. And we may think, what is the importance of understanding this paramam sthitim, the transcendental position of Krishna, my own transcendental situation, what's the importance? The process is not working, and anyway, what's the importance of knowing this? It is very important to know our real situation and transcendental situation of Krishna, because we are very tightly bound, we are very tightly connected with Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna. And everything which is present in this creation is Krishna. So that's why it's very important to understand Krishna in whole, and it's important to understand who we are in connection to Krishna. So self-realization and God-realization go hand in hand, because the example is given of the sun. When there is dawn in the morning and we are in our room, we may stand in front of the mirror, then we can see our face. When it's pitch dark, we cannot see ourselves clearly. But when sun appears, sunshine enters the room, because of sun's presence, we can see ourselves as well. So it's simultaneous. We are seeing ourselves means we are seeing sun as well. So same way, when we'll have self-realization, we'll understand what's our Siddha Swarup or what's our real position in the spiritual world. At that moment, we'll be able to see Krishna as well fully, and we'll be able to understand his transcendental position as well. But because of that hatred and envy, Ichha Dvesh, we came to the spiritual world and we are artificially trying to disconnect ourselves from Krishna. But it's not possible. We can never get disconnected from Krishna. We are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. So here living entities, they try to enjoy, they don't want to hear about Krishna at all, because they have come very far away from his personal abode. So they want to be in seclusion and they want to enjoy by themselves. They don't want to hear about Krishna at all. So they become very cold towards Krishna. Frigid, very cold, no feelings for Krishna. And when you talk about Krishna to them, then they feel repulsed, that this is the last thing I want to hear. So that's why we have these assemblies, these classes where we hear about Krishna and revive our original consciousness, in which we'll naturally want to hear about Krishna more and more. So what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna? It's more chanting and more hearing. So this process never stops. So we always want to, we would like to hear about Krishna more and more. And this feeling of attachment to Krishna's topics will exponentially increase as we become purified. So this is very unnatural situation when we have emotions towards material things and not towards spiritual things. So it's an unnatural situation, because we are spiritual beings, so naturally we should be attracted to spiritual subject matters. But we are very easily, in our conditioned state, we are easily attracted by material subject matters. And we get emotionally attached to them. Some people are fond of reading some magazines and they get emotionally attached to it, or reading newspaper. If the newspaper is not delivered on time, they get anxious. Where is the newspaper? They are emotionally attached to it. So it's very strange, because if we logically try to understand, emotion is there, it's a sign of consciousness. So if someone is conscious, means he has different emotions. And emotion has to be towards conscious things. Matter is dead. So if we have emotions towards matter, that doesn't make sense. So that's why, I mean, to argue against this thing, some people will say, okay, we are not materialists, fully gross materialists, but we love our family, community. But actually that's also an emotion towards matter. Why? Because first of all, you are attached to the body, which is matter. So you have emotions for your body. You are emotionally attached to the body, and then you try to satisfy all the necessities of the body. And then next stage, you want to take care of those who are related to the body. So you have emotions towards those who are related to the body. So my wife, my child, my husband, my parents, my friends, because they are related to your body, so you have emotional attachment to them. We see so many mothers crying for children, but why don't they cry for other children? There's not much difference. No, because the child has come from their womb, so they have that material attachment. My son. And there are so many sons, there are so many mothers, so many friends, so many fathers. Why only that particular related? So that's a very strange thing. That's material attachment. So that's a wrong emotion. So that's why when Arjun was showing these emotions for his guru, his family, friends, fathers, grandfathers, so that's why Krishna chastised him. So why are you emotionally attached to material relations? This is a dharma yuga, this is a religious war, and you should fight. And we have to be actually emotionally attached to Krishna. But what does Bhagavatam say? It says, Tadashmasaram Hridayam Pratedam. That when we chant Hare Krishna, because our heart is steel frame, there is no emotion. When we chant, there is no emotion. Rather, we feel bored in the beginning phases. All neophyte devotees go through that. So we feel so bored, there is no emotion. What is this holy name? But for so many material things, our emotions come out. For family, friends, and then community. This is all extended materialism, extended selfishness. My nation, because my body, which is matter, is born in this particular nation, so I'm attached to this nation. And there's so much emotion. So if my country loses World Cup match, I'll cry and I'll be depressed. Right? So I think Argentina lost World Cup, so the whole nation will mourn. So much emotion, they'll cry. Actually, you can see external emotions, external display. So this is all very strange, because you are getting attached to something which is not real, in the sense it's not permanent. Our emotions have to be applied towards Krishna and things related to Krishna, his devotional service. So that's the real platform, a real standard of emotional expression. So Prahlad Maharaj was a young 5-year-old boy, and one day Hiranyakashipu sat his son on his lap, and with great emotion he asked, "So you have learned so many things at the school, what is the best subject you have learned?" So Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee. So here we can see clearly, a full-on materialist like Hiranyakashipu was ultimately not happy. He had everything in the universe. He was ruling the universe. Demigods were afraid of him. But he was not happy. He acquired all those things just to become happy, more and more happy. He wanted to be in control. But here, simple 5-year-old boy, he was just performing bhakti. And he was happy. His name, Prahlad, means Prakrishta Rupena Ahlad, means really happy from within. So he was happy. He knew he was in a dangerous situation. His father may kill him. But still, he was very satisfied and happy. So when his father asked him, "What did you learn?" So he said, "Tat sadhu manye asur varya dehinam. Sada samudvigna dhyam asad grahat hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gatoyam hari vanam gatoyat harim ashrayeta." That those who are attached to this body and things related to the body, they are always distressed. First of all, he addressed his father as not father. He said, "O asur varya, O greatest of the demons." And he took it as a praise. "Wow, my son is appreciating me." So Prabhupada in one lecture he said, Prahlad Maharaj was humorous, he was witty when he said that O Father. Instead of Father, he said, O greatest among the demons. He was being sarcastic actually. But his father took it as a praise. But he gave the real teaching. He was not afraid. He spoke the truth. He said, those who are attached to the body and things related to the body, they enter into a well, Griham Andhakupam, which is like a blind well. So all materialists are in a dark well where there is no water, but they are trying to search water. There is no Krishna there. Krishna is the real water or real nectar. But they are trying to search happiness in the dark well. So that's why he suggested that take shelter of Krishna. Harim Ashrayata, take shelter of Krishna. All of these people should take shelter of Krishna. So without taking shelter of Krishna, without understanding our relationship with Krishna, without understanding what is the plan of the Lord, we can never be happy. We can try, but we can never be happy. So here it is said that even Lord Brahma didn't know the real transcendental situation. Now who is Brahma? Brahma is actually the greatest living entity within this universe. In 5th canto, he is addressed as Bhagwan Adi Purusha. Usually we refer to Krishna as Adi Purusham. Govindam Adi Purusham Tam Aham Bhajami. But in 5th canto, Lord Brahma is addressed as Adi Purush. What that means is, he is the original personality within this universe in that sense. And he is addressed as Bhagwan as well, because he is fully representing Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Gaur Nitai Radha Vallabh Ki Jai. So, he is very intelligent and he is fully in line with Krishna's instructions. Still, Prabhupada mentions here, he doesn't understand the deep understanding of transcendental situation of Krishna. Especially about those pastimes which happen in Dwarka and Vrindavan. Only pure devotees can understand. If someone is tinged with karma and jnana, then we cannot understand these transcendental pastimes of Krishna, transcendental situation of Krishna. It's very hard to understand. We are engrossed in material conception of life. We may have started practicing bhakti, but we have so many different contaminations. We have tinges of material contamination, karma and jnana. These are the coverings. And as we know, the definition of bhakti says, the pure bhakti is that where there are no coverings of karma and jnana. So these coverings hide from us. We cannot see the real face of Krishna. So they cover the face of Krishna. Until we see the real face of Krishna, we cannot understand what's our real position. We think that these material designations that we have, that's our true position. So we get carried away by these material designations. That I am a man, I am a manager, I am an Australian. All these things are temporary designations. So we try to be, whatever position we have, we can be proud of that. Doesn't matter high or low. If some position is prestigious, there are more chances of being proud. If someone is a big manager or a CEO or a president of a country. So it's very easy to become proud. But even if we have a lower position, we can be proud. Because pride is what makes you fall. So Maya is so expert, it can enter from even a small gap. So it doesn't actually make sense if someone has a lower position and he's proud. How is that possible? Someone can be proud of a lower position. But that is Maya. Maya is so expert. We'll try to do things differently. Distinction. These are all subtle aspects of pride. We want to be distinct. Okay, I am doing this activity, but see how I am different. This is a perverted reflection of our spiritual activities, because we do have a distinct and unique service in the spiritual world, which no one else can do. So at the moment, that service is not being done in the spiritual world, in the sense we are not aware of it. We have become covered for the time being. So these innumerable lifetimes we spend in this material world. So this perverted reflection in the material world is that we want to be topmost. Even if we have a lower position, but we think that we are doing that in a very special way. So that's a perverted reflection. I used to do part-time work at Gopal's many years back. So many things, serving at the counter, preparing salads. So many days I did pot washing shift as well there. So it's not very prestigious to wash pots. You know, someone is washing pots. It's maybe considered a low position, the lowest position maybe. But I remember I was proud of it. One time I can remember that subtle feeling within, that subconscious feeling within my mind. I was being proud. See, I'm washing big pots. I would put them on the sink. There's a big sink there. I would roll the big pot and very effortlessly spray water on it. And I remember one time some devotees came. So I was doing it in a way to show them, show off. So I was very proud. See, I'm washing pots. You know, I can do it also. And I'm doing it in a special way. No one else can do like this. So this is pride. It can enter in any situation. So what to do with it? So the real thing is to understand that whatever we are doing is for Krishna. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi, yad jihoshi dadasi yad, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tat karushva mad arpanam. So Krishna says in 9th chapter, 27th verse, that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever penance you perform, do it as an offering to me. Then we can be free of pride. If we think just before doing an activity that this is for Krishna, this is not for me, this is not for my glory, this is for Krishna's glory, then we can eventually get rid of that pride. Otherwise, whatever we do, pride can enter within our mind. So usually the devotees, they are not very anxious to get high positions. It's exhibited by the example of Priyavrata Maharaj in 5th canto. There he was a devotee, but then his father wanted him to rule the whole earth, whole universe actually. But he was hesitant. Just imagine, you know, if someone gives us a big position, we will be very happy. We'll thank him. You are my best well-wisher, thank you. But he was very hesitant to get that position of ruler of the universe. Just imagine. There Prabhupada writes that this is the situation of a pure devotee. Pure devotee is very hesitant. But he may take a big position just so that he can serve Krishna and he can serve others. So later on, Priyavrata Maharaj did accept that position just for the benefit of the citizens and as a service for his father, and because Lord Brahma also insisted. So as a service of Lord, service for great devotees, he agreed. So that's why whatever position we are in, we should understand that this is for Krishna's service. This is not for my glory. And then we can be actually satisfied, and then we can satisfy Krishna as well. And that is real bhakti. Otherwise, whatever we do will go in vain. So these topics of Krishna are very pleasing to devotees. And Lord is full of beautiful features. Here Lord is addressed as Arvindaksha, lotus eyed. So lotus is very beautiful. It's considered one of the most beautiful things in this material world. So just for the comparison's sake, Lord's various aspects are compared to lotus. So if we take shelter of Lord's lotus feet and his instructions, then we can be very secure. The example is given of a bee. A bee enters into the hole of the lotus flower and drinks the honey. And while it's drinking the honey, it's protected by the petals of the lotus from any external harm, any external weather situation. So same way, when we are relishing Krishna consciousness, which is like the nectar or honey, when we take shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, then the petals of that lotus will protect us from any external thing as well. So the real protection is offered by devotional service. Sometimes devotees leave devotional service to get protection from something else. And they think, Krishna is not protecting me, he's not taking care of me. I became sick because I was doing service. That's a very wrong attitude. Service has to be done, of course, in a way that you are mentally and physically healthy. But at the same time, some service has to be done. That's the point. We shouldn't leave devotional service altogether. Some service has to be done. We should be actively engaged in Krishna consciousness. And when we are performing that service, we'll be protected by Krishna himself. So this devotional service, this transcendental position of Krishna, they are very mysterious. But if we keep performing these activities, and if we keep chanting, keep hearing these glories, then we can very soon be cured. This material attachment is like a disease. And when we hear these topics of Krishna, then we get purified and we become cured. In 10th canto, the famous verse which glorifies the holy name, the glories of Krishna, is as follows. It says, Nivritta tarshay rupagiya manat bhavau shadachotra manobiramat ka uttama shloka gunanuvada puman virajeta vinapashugna. So here it is said that who will not be attracted to these pastimes of Krishna? Only a person who is pashugna, means who is a butcher or who is the killer of the self. Pashu can refer to animal or the soul. And gna means one who kills. So one who kills animals is a butcher. One who kills himself means one who doesn't understand the importance of self-realization. He is actually killing himself. And such a person is equal to a butcher. He is not interested in hearing pastimes of Krishna. So if someone is not interested in hearing Bhagavatam, that means he is pretty much like a butcher. And butcher is considered to be the lowest among men, because we know that famous story when the sage told butcher, you neither die nor live. That's the situation of a butcher. Means, while he's living, he's in a hellish situation. He's in a hell all the time. He's surrounded by dead bodies or live bodies which he will kill. So that's hell. And once he dies, he'll go to hell because of his sin. So that's a butcher. It's very low existence. So here in this verse, a person who doesn't hear Krishna's glories is compared to a butcher. So that's the importance. Krishna's glories are so amazing that they can cure us, they can change, they can transform our heart from steel frame to a soft heart. And it was exhibited in the past time when Mahaprabhu, he went to Varanasi, and there were all these Mayavadis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati. So they were very hard-hearted. They were reading Vedanta and they thought they have so much knowledge of Vedanta. So Prakashananda Saraswati asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you just singing and chanting like an emotional man? Why don't you come with us? You are a sannyasi like us. Come with us, we'll discuss Vedanta. So then he presented himself as a very humble person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as a humble person. And he said, I went to my Guru Maharaj. He said, you know, Guru mora murka deki karile shasan. My Guru said, you are fool number one. You can't understand Vedanta. You just chant Hare Krishna. So he presented himself as very humble person. And that humility attracted them. And he converted all of them. So this, there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Sei haite sanyasira firi gela man. Krishna Krishna naam sada karaye grahan. So their mind, their heart was transformed by this humility of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they started chanting Krishna's name again and again. So Krishna's name, Krishna's topics are so nectarian that they can transform heart of everyone. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So again, coming back to the words which are stressed here by Prabhupada, Paramam Sthitim, it's very important to understand as a matter of fact, what is the real situation of Krishna? What is my relationship to Krishna? And that's possible only by bhakti. In fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna tells Arjun that janma karma chamaya devyam evam yo veti tatvata, that one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, he can come to spiritual world. So one who knows tatvata, in truth. So how to know in truth? So the answer is given in 18th chapter. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchakshmi tatvata. By bhakti you can know the transcendental mysteries of Krishna's situation. So when we perform bhakti with all devotional feelings for Krishna in a submissive attitude, then Krishna will reveal everything. We will be able to bind him. He'll give himself to us. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So just by practicing bhakti, slowly and slowly we become very deep and we relish this nectarian Krishna consciousness. Initially we may be shallow, we may be affected by our turbulent mind, as Arjun says. His mind is very turbulent and obstinate and very, very fickle. It just goes here and there. But if you see in an ocean, if there is a hurricane, that's only at the surface. If you go down, deep down, it's very steady, deep down, near the bottom. So same way, a devotee who is deep, externally, things may be going on the material platform. A body may not be well, mind may be going here and there, but he is fixed in his service, in his determination, that whatever happens to my body or mind, I'll keep serving Krishna to my best ability. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, go ahead.
Just a comment, like you said, right? Even the beggar is proud of his penny.
Yeah, that's the saying. Even the beggar is proud of his penny. Yeah, nice.
Also, you mentioned that people are attached to their family, their friends, or their parents. When
So Krishna's attachment looks like our attachment. But what I was saying was any material attachment is wrong. Spiritual attachment is good. So for Krishna there is nothing like material. So everything is one for Krishna. Everything is his energy. So all his attachment, he is attached to his devotee. That's good. And same way for devotees as well. If someone is attached to other devotees, that is a good attachment. In third canto, Kapila Dev says that attachment cannot be given up. It just has to be transformed. So attachment for material things has to be transformed into attachment to sadhus. So for devotees, they have their family members. So they are not attached to them just on the bodily platform. They have understanding that yes, now I am related to this person on the bodily platform, but he or she is a spirit soul. So we try to help our family members to get attached to Krishna. So that attachment is good. So what I was speaking of gross materialists who are only attached on the material platform. There is no Krishna consciousness. They see their relatives as matter. They don't see the spirit in them. But devotees are not like that.
The tendency is still there.
Yes, until we get fully pure, until we get rid of these two things, speculative knowledge and fruitive tendencies. So these are contaminations. So till we become pure devotees, we will have those material tendencies. So that's why this bhakti process is there, to become purified eventually. That reminded me of a story, Sankirtan story. A couple of weeks back, I was distributing books or trying to distribute, and there was a young couple passing by, and the boy had his arm on the shoulder of the girl. So I thought they were talking. I thought they won't stop. So anyway, on book distribution, we try to be friendly with everyone. So I said, "Oh, you look very happy. What's the secret?" And they said, "It's love." So I was thinking, it's not love, it's lust. Because as you said, the love word can be only applied to Krishna. And in this material world, if the perverted reflection of love is called lust, and ultimately it's not very pleasant situation. It ends in distress. Okay, any last question? We have 1-2 minutes. Yes, very, very nice. Correct. Okay, thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.